according to that person, Biraglav means within my soul.
Correct. Correct. Rabbi Huda says you can enter. Rabbi Huda, my sahaya, v'nichnas Rabbi Tarfon below miskavi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda says there was an episode, and Rabbi Tarfon went in without kavana. Okay, so we'll say, now you have Rabbi Huda saying that you could walk in even without kavana. That as long as you are geographically within 2,000, almost by definition, the city becomes your makom shvisa, and therefore lemaisa, you can go ahead and establish that as your makom shvisa even without kavana. And Rabbi Huda says, maisa, there was an actual episode, v'nichnas Rabbi Tarfon below miskavi. Rabbi Tarfon went in without kavana. Meaning, when it says he went in with kavana, what it means is he established as his makom shvisa that place, even though he didn't have kavana for it. Tanya. Amr Rabbi Huda, Maisib Rabbi Tarfon, Shahaya Mahalik Baderach. There was an episode Rabbi Tarfon was walking on the road. The Chash Chalo, and ultimately it became dark. The Lan Chutz Le'ir, and ultimately he established his Makum Shavisa, or I should say, he slept outside of the city. The Shacharis, the next morning, Matso Roy Bakar. So shepherds found him. Amr Lo Rebbe, they said to him, Rebbe, Hareha Ir Lefanecha, Hikanes, Rebbe, the ear is right in front of you. Go in. Nichnas, he went in. The Yashav beis Hamedrash, he went into the beis Hamedrash. The Darash Kalyam Kulon, he taught the entire day. Amrulo Mishamrai. So we'll say the Gemara is trying to bring this episode of Rabbi Tarfon, or Rabbi Huda is trying to bring this episode of Rabbi Tarfon, as indicating that what? That even without Kavana to establish the city as your Makum Shavisa, as long as you were within 2,000 amos of that city, even if you did not originally realize it, that city becomes your Makum Shavisa. Rabbi Huda is trying to bring the right. Rabbi Tarfon did not realize that he was within 2,000 amos of the city. He woke up the next morning, it was Shabbos, and the shepherds told him, hey, you're within 2,000 amos of the city, and he went in. That's not a good raya. Shema b'libahai. So first of all, maybe he did have it in mind. Right? Maybe that's the case where ultimately he did have it in mind. He did have it in mind prior to the onset of Shabbos. Oh, beis hamedrash muva b'loch b'soch tchumahaya. Or another possibility, which is what Rabbi was saying, that maybe the beis medrash that he went into was within the 2,000 amos of his real makom shvisa. So maybe he did not become like one of the residents of the city, but in fact, again, the beis medrash was within his 2,000 amos, and that's how he was able to go to it. Rabbi said, "Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that as long as you are within 2,000 amos of the city, that by definition that becomes your makom shvisa, even if again you are not even actively aware that you are within 2,000 amos, just your geographic presence within 2,000 amos makes you like one of the residents of the city, and therefore means that you have 2,000 amos in every direction." Says the Mishnah, "Misha yasham b'derech lo yada shechashecha." Somebody who was sleeping on the road and did not realize that it had become dark. So we'll say, here's an interesting case. So now, at the time of the onset of Shabbos, I was not conscious. I was sleeping. So the question now is, have I established a makom shavisa or not? So the Gemara says, yes. Yeshlo apayim amalucho ruach v'ruach tevi Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, yes. Essentially, since you're sleeping, that place becomes your makom shavisa, even though you did not have intent for that, and you have 2,000 amos in every direction. The Chum say, ain lo ela arba amos. The Chum say, no, you only have dalet amos. You only have dalet amos, that's all. Because again, according to the Chum, you didn't have kavana to establish the makom shvisa, and therefore lemaisa, no, you don't have 2,000 amos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, v'hu be'emtzon. Eliezer says, when the Chum said that you have 4 amos, Rabosai, so 4 amos are measured as you are standing in the middle of them and have 2 amos in each direction. Rabbi Huda Omer, le'ezeruch she'yir tzeyelech. Rabbi Huda says, no, you can go in any direction you want. Umode Rabbi Huda, she'im birer lo. Rabbi Huda agrees that once you choose which direction you're going to go in, she'ino yochol lachzor bo, that you may not go ahead and now choose differently. Hayu shnayim, miktas amosav shelzeh, besoch amosav shelzeh. So we'll say, if you have 2 people, and both these individuals, Rashi says, omdim zeh rachok mizeh, vav amos, the mivlan beis amos shekol echad besoch shechaver. So we'll say, let's say you have 2 people, both who fail to establish a makom shvisa. Therefore, all they have is what? All they have is dalet amos. But 2 of their amos overlap with each other. There's overlap between their dalet amos. So what happens? Mevi'in va'ochlin be'emtza, they can have a joint meal together. They could share a Shabbos meal, because since they have 2 amos of overlap, they can have a seuda together. Va'ochlin be'emtza, u'bilvad, Obilvad shalayotzi zemitoch shalo l'sof shalcha beira. As long as one does not remove any of his items into the rishus of his friend. Mirabeau said that they could only use the common area together. Obviously, meaning one might say that once they have overlapping area, maybe that allows each one to utilize the full dalaramas of the other. Kamashon, that is not the case. Hayu shlosh, if there are three people, v'ha'em tsoi muvla b'neihem. And what happens? So three people now will say, and the third guy shares space with the two outer ones. Hu mutar imahen, v'hein mutar nimo. He is permitted with them, they are permitted with him, i.e. in the overlapping areas. Ha'chitzonim asrum ze'im ze'. But the outer ones are prohibited to really to go into each other's space. So all the Mishnah is saying is that Lamaisa, I might have thought that if there's a bridge between two outer spaces, that what? That creates a connection between the two outer ones as well. Kamashmala, no. That all it creates is the middle guy has overlapping area with the two outer ones, and therefore they can use their shared spaces. So we'll call him B, the middle guy. B can share common area with A, and can share common area with C. But just because A and C share common area with B, that does not allow A and C to share any common area because they have none. Omer Shimon Lamad David Omer, what could this be compared to? L'shalosh chateros ha-psuchos zu-la-zu, to three courtyards that are open one to the other, u-psuchos rishus harabim, and are open also to rishus harabim. So we'll say we have a picture of this actually. This is picture 180 of three chateros that open one to the other, that each of them open one to the other, and they also all open into rishus harabim. So the Gemara says. Irvu shtaimim hamso. So let's say the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one. Himutaras imahen. The middle one is permitted with each of the outer ones. Vehein mutaras ima. And each of the outer ones is permitted to go ahead and, let's say, move around and carry it with the middle one. Ushtaim achitzonos asuros zu imzu. But again, the two outer ones are prohibited to interact with each other. Fine. Says the Gemara. When I say interact, you understand I don't literally mean interact. I mean, they can't carry one from the other. Boy, Rava, my kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So, both said, what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that if I was sleeping at the onset of Shabbos and I went ahead and I was sleeping at the onset of Shabbos and did not have kavanah to establish a makom shvisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says I still have a makom shvisa, and therefore I have 2,000 amos from the place in which I find myself. Okay, so the Gemara says. What's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's what's his svara? Kasavar chavtze hefker konin shvisa. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that ownerless items acquire a makom shvisa. And the same way that ownerless items go ahead and acquire a makom shvisa, so to a person who's sleeping is no worse than an ownerless item, and therefore the ma'isa also acquires a makom shvisa. Look at Rashi chavtze hefker kelim she'in lem bailim. So these are kelim that don't have owners. So mostly we saw yesterday's daf that kelim usually take on the tchum of their owner. Ownerless items have no owner, obviously, and therefore what? So he says v'chashecha lehem b'makom echad. So we'll say the chiddush over here is chefzei hefker. Even though there's no one, there's no owner to establish for them a makom shvisa. Yet what? They have a makom shvisa. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri applies that to a person and says, so too, if a person doesn't have kavana to establish a makom shvisa, his mere physical presence in a particular area establishes a makom shvisa, and therefore he has 2,000 amos. Ubedinhu delifl bekelim. The truth is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim could have had their argument not about a person, but could have framed their argument as dealing with a kli. Right, they could have the same exact argument to deal with an ownerless utensil. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say that an ownerless utensil has a tchum of 2,000 amos, and the Chum would say, no, it doesn't. So why do they argue regarding a person? But the reason they argued in the case of a person is to tell us the strength of the rabbi's position. And therefore the Mishnah teaches us that according to Rabbanan, the Chiddush is that even Rabbi will say this same person, if he were to be awake, he could have established a makom shvisa. I might have thought that since if he was awake, he could establish a makom shvisa. Maybe we should give him that makom shvisa even when he's asleep. Kamash malon, no, that we do not. That's the position of the Rabbanan. O Dilma, Kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ba'ama chefzi hefker ein konin shvisa. Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that no, ownerless items don't acquire a makom shvisa. I, so why, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, does the sleeping person acquire makom shvisa? V'hachah haynu taima hoil v'neir kana yoshein nami kana. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that since if the person were to be awake, he would acquire makom shvisa. Then what? Even when he's sleeping, we give him a makom shvisa as well. Amar Rabbi Yosef tashma. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, let's learn this brisa. Gishamim sheyardu me'erev yom tov. If rain fell and the rain was collected and they are in a kli before Yom Tov, yesh lahem apayim amal choruach, then the rain has 2,000 amos in every direction. The rain acquires a makom shvisa for itself, and the rain has 2,000 amos in every direction. The Yom Tov, however, if the rain falls on Yom Tov itself, harei hein kiragle kol adam. So then what? Then the rain is like whoever it is that takes it. Whoever that is that takes it. So the Gemara says, I amrit. Because since they did not establish makom shvisa at the onset of Yom Tov, and therefore again, whatever direction a person who collects the rainwater made an eruv, they're given the eruv, or they're given the tchum of the person who collects it. So the Gemara says, "I amrit pishlama kasev Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri chef sehef kirkonin shvisa." So if you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that ownerless items acquire for themselves a makom shvisa, then hamani, whose opinion does the brisa reflect? Rabbi Yochanan he, the Rabbi said, when the brisa says that if the rain fell on erev Shabbos, then what? The rain has 2,000 amos in every direction. Whose opinion does that reflect? That's the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Then chef sehef hefker acquire makom shvisa. But if you tell me that odorless items do not acquire makom shvisa, then what? Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Lo Rabbi Yochanan, velo Rabbanan. Then Rabbi will say, it's not Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the Rabbanan. Yosef Abayi v'kamar lo lahosh v'aysona. Abayi was sitting and staying over this particular ruling. Amli Rav Safra la Abayi, and Rav Safra said to Abayi, v'dilma b'kishonim hasmuchin l'iraskinon. Maybe we're talking about rainwater that fell in close proximity to the city, and therefore what? Va'anshe osama'ir da'atam alayhu. And therefore the people of the city have in mind that what Rabbo say, that they're going to use that rainwater. And that's why lemaisa, this is not called chafse hefker. What is this? This is an object that is owned by the townspeople. And because it's owned by the townspeople, therefore what? It has the tchum of the townspeople. Amar le'lo. Abai said no. Why? Sakudaitcha disnan, because the Mishnah says, Bor shal yochid, if you have a pit, right? A pit, which literally means that when it says a bor, so this is talking about like a bor that holds something, let's say a bor that holds rainwater. So bor shal yochid, kiragle yochid. So the water that's contained in the bor of an individual has the tchum of that individual. Vishal os sahair. Similarly, again, if you have a bor that belongs to the residents of the city, Karagle Osair, it has the tchum of the red townspeople, Vishal Ole Bavel, and for those who come up from Bavel, so Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, Shal Ole Bavel, first by line in Rashi, Shebederech, Shalomi Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, Vahu Shal Hefker. So I will say, this is talking about literally a well that was dug for the pilgrims who had come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So this is a well of Hefker. So what's the halacha? Kiragle Hamemale. So interestingly enough, the water has the tchum of who? Of the person who takes it. Uvitanya, and we learned, Bor Shal Shvatim, the Rabbi say, a Bor Shal Shvatim is pretty much the same thing as Ole Bavel, which is saying a bar of Hefker, right? A bar that has Hefker water. Yesh Lahem Apayim Amalacho Ruach. It has 2,000 amos in every direction. So the Gemara says, Kashya Ahadadi. So we'll say, now we have a stira. What's the contradiction? You just tell me Bor Shal Ole Bavel, which is Hefker water, you told me it has the tchum of what? Whoever takes it. And then you told me the Hefker water, the bar of Shvatim, has a tchum of what? 2,000 amos every direction. So which one is it? Elalav Shmamina, Harab Yochanan Benuri, Harabanan. Rather, Gemara says, the brisos reflect two different opinions. The first brisa that says that the Hefker water has the tchum of the person who takes it, that's reflective of the view of the Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan hold that Hefze Hefker, an Hefker item, does not establish its own makum shvisa. And therefore, the maisik gets the tchum of the person who's going to take it. The second breast that speaks about the wells of the Shvatim, the Hefker water, that says you have 2,000 amos in every direction, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that Hefzei Hefker, ownerless items, establish their own makom shini, so they ever have 2,000 amos in every direction. Kiyosah came to Rabbi Yosef, when he came before Rabbi Yosef, Amar li hachi kamar Rav Safra. V'achi ahadri li. Rabbi Yosef says, this was the conversation, this is what Rav Safra said, and this is what they answered him. V'achi kahadri li. Amar li, v'amai lo tema le migufa. So the Gemara says, why don't you go? I look at Rashi. The Amaylo Temele Ki Asa Abayla Kamei the Rav Yosef. So Isak Adaitcha Gishamim Hasmuchel Iraskinon. If you want to say, we're talking about rainwater that collected close to the city. Ha so Iraskinon. Ha Yeshlam Apayim Amlochol Ruach. They have 2,000 amos in every direction. Ha Kiragle Anche Osa Ir Miboyle. It should have said that they are like. That they are like the Ragli Anshi Osair, that they are considered to be like the Tchum of the people of that very city. All right, well, this is just another version of the previous discussion. Amar Mar, the Yom Tov Harihin Kiragli Kol Adam, that again, if Lamaisa, the rainwater fell, the Brian said before, if the rainwater falls on Shabbos, they are considered, they get the Tchum of whoever takes it. So the Gemara says, Va'amai, but why is that so? Liknish Visaba Okainos. They should go ahead and establish a makom shvisa in the ocean. Right? The assumption is that the rainwater comes from the ocean, and therefore lemaisa, the makom shvisa of the water is in the ocean. Let the water be their makom shvisa, and let their tchum be measured from there. Leima de lo Rabbi Eliezer. Apparently, the brisa does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Di Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar kala olam kulam mimeo kainos u'shosa. Rabbi Eliezer says that the entire world is watered through the waters of the ocean. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. What are we talking about? The rain clouds already gathered on Erev Yom Tov, which means, Dr. Abel say, that the water was already removed from the ocean, so to speak. Right? The water was already in the cloud. The point is, the water was already in the clouds at the onset of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, V'dilma hanach azli v'hanach achrini ninu. But how do you know that the same rain clouds that you saw on Erev Yom Tov are the same rain clouds that actually caused the rain on Yom Tov? The isle simna v'gavayu. You recognize it was a same cloud formation. It was a same cloud formation, all right? V'vayisema, or the other possibility is, havi safek didivrehem. It's a safek, the safek didivrehem lahakel, and because it's a safek and a drabanon, if it's the same rain clouds, not the same rain clouds, we're making an assume it's the same rain clouds. V'likni shvisa ba'avim. So why don't you say then that the makom shvisa of the rain rabosa is in the clouds? V'tifshot minei de'ein tchumun l'malamiyud. And we learn from rabosa going back to the sugya on Shabbos. That what? You see from here that the fact that the makom shvisa is not in the clouds, that what? That there is no tchum above 10. The yesh tchumun liknei shvisa ba'avim. The olam emelacha yesh tchumun. I would say maybe there is tchum even above 10. Umayim be'eva mivli bli. But ultimately, again, the water in the clouds is considered to be absorbed. Top of Membav. Kol shekein dahavalu nolad, da'asiri. I bet if that's the case that it's absorbed into the clouds, then it should certainly be asir, because then the water is nolad. Elamaya ba'avim mayid naidi. But rather, what do we have to say? The water in the clouds is considered to be in perpetual motion. And because it's considered to be in perpetual motion on both sides, it does not acquire a makum shvisa. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. We'll say, just a point to remember is the fundamental machlokes of Yochanan ben Uri and the Chacham. In terms of, does a sleeping person acquire a makum shvisa or not? Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says yes. He says yes. The Rabbanan say no. It will seem to be that the root of their machlokes is how you deal with ownerless objects. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that ownerless objects receive a tchum. Now, what does that tell you? That an item receives a tchum even if there is no das. If the object receives a tchum with no das, then what? Then a person can also establish a tchum with no das. The chum, on the other hand, hold that what? That lemaisa, an ownerless object, does not establish a tchum, because in order to get a tchum, you need das, and therefore what? A sleeping person also will not establish a tchum because no das. We continue tomorrow, Mir Tzasha.